Coming to you live from the top secret broadcasting bunker here at Area 52. We're broadcasting today from the Cydonia region of the planet Mars. This is Pat. You know where the face is? I don't know about you, but I think the face on Mars actually looks like me, okay? Just say it. Anyway, good to be with you today. Hope you had a great weekend. I had a wonderful weekend. And we had a good church service Sunday morning. I hope you all tuned in. We had a wonderful... Oh, by the way, I've got a new sponsor today. We are proud to be endorsing Domino's Pizza of the Netherlands that has a 666 deal. Only in the Netherlands can you get the pizza of the beast. So if you want to eat like a beast, enjoy the 666 deal at your local neighborhood Nederland Domino's Pizza. Just thought I'd... And you know I'm kidding. You know I'm kidding. And you know, I have to say that. I have to say, I'm just joking, because there's always going to be somebody out there that's going, see, I knew he was in the Illuminati. I knew it. He's advertising that. Good to be with you today. I've got a bunch of stuff. We can't get away from Barack Obama this week. We dealt last Thursday with his apparent change of heart. And it's not true. He didn't change his heart. His heart's been that way all of his life. He's been a Marxist, a socialist, a communist, a liberal. And he has championed every cause, every liberal cause in his life. And now he's championing the sodomite marriage, and we're going to deal with that because apparently Barack H. has now become a god. And I'll show you what I mean by that. I pulled up some interesting articles that some people have been sending me the last few days. Here is one from NJ.com. Apparently that's New Jersey. State exam asked New Jersey third graders to write essay on secret they had kept. A lot of you who are in the homeschool movement or things like that or Christian school, we used to have a Christian school here, and I used to be right on top of this stuff. Years ago, I began to do some research on just the globalism and the humanism and everything else that was moving into the teaching of the public schools, teaching the Earth Day. Children are having Earth Day. Let's worship the Earth and let's take care of our little planet and things like that. And now we have this. The article says, is it okay to ask a child to reveal a secret? Richard Goldberg doesn't think so. Goldberg, the father of 8-year-old twin boys, was dismayed to learn his third grade sons were asked to write an essay about a secret they had and why it was hard to keep. The unusual question, which Goldberg called entirely inappropriate, was on the standardized test given to public school students in the 3rd through 8th grade every spring. Now, we're not just talking about the school counselor sitting down with them and saying, now, we know you're keeping a secret. We know your mom and dad beat you and abused you and molest you. We know that happens. We want you to spill the beans. By the way, I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but that actually takes place. There are people that have told me that when they go, adults, when they go in for some sort of counseling or something like that, the therapist is always trying to get them to admit that their mom and daddy abused them or their dad was a molester or this and that and the other. They're always trying to get them to admit that, even if it's not true. There are some people out there who have the idea that every problem in life goes back to your evil mom and dad who's always looked mean at you and burnt you with cigarettes and whipped you with cords and things like that. And I understand stuff like that happens. I really do. Lisa and I used to be a long, 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 long time ago. We dealt a little bit with foster care, and I can tell you there's some nasty, nasty people out there, and they ought to have their kids taken away, but that's not everybody. But anyway, this is not the social worker at school or the school counselor asking this. This is actually, according to this article, is on the standardized test. You know what that is. That's where you take the number 2 lead pencil. I don't have one. And you you have to pick the right answer, okay? And you have to fill in the oval with your number 2 lead pencil like that, okay? That's the standardized testing. Want to know how well they can read, how well they can do math, how much history they know, how much social study and geography they know, whether they can read a short story and gain something out of it and talk about it. And then, oh, by the way, we know there's something going on at your house that we, the government, wants to know about, and we want you to spill the beans. It's on the standardized test. He said he first learned about the essay when he questioned his sons about the difficulty of the annual test, which they had been preparing for at their Marlboro Elementary School. Well, that's their problem. They go to a tobacco company school, Marlboro. I'm just kidding. They both looked at me and said, "The secrets question was really hard," Goldberg said. I told them, "Wow, that's a difficult question." But in my head, I was thinking, how did this outrageous question get on the test in the first place? Roughly 4,000 students in 15 districts across the state answered the question, which Department of Education spokesman Justin Barra said was being field tested during this year's administration of the new JOISY assessment of knowledge and skills. The question will not, however, appear on any future versions of the test, Barra said. Not on that test. I guarantee you they're not going to back down. The article says, "We looked at this question in light of concerns raised by parents, and it is clear that this is not an appropriate question for a state test." What, you had to have parents tell you that it wasn't appropriate? You actually had to have somebody call you and say, "What are you doing? You have no right to know everything that goes on in my house. As long as it's not illegal, you don't have a right to know about it." And he had to have somebody tell him that that was inappropriate. You know, I just didn't know. That's kind of a gray area for me. That's New Jersey. And then I found out New York, which is right next to New Jersey, in case you didn't know, in case you didn't do well on the standardized test. New York, apparently, it is okay in the eyes of the justice system of the state of New York. Apparently, it's not a crime to look at child pornography in the state of New York on your computer. A case came up. I don't know. I can't remember the details of it. But anyway, the judge ruled that whoever was doing this, looking at child porn on the internet, on their computer, the judge basically said, well, that's all he was doing. What's wrong with you people? It's a sicko world we live in. And I'm going to show you a little bit of the depth of what's wrong in our country. And then we have the righteous, reverend, and most holy divine Jesse Jackson. You know him. Standing next to Martin Luther King when he got shot. The righteous, reverend, and most holy divine Jesse Jackson calls on pastors to support Obama's backing of gay marriage. The right, reverend, and most holy, righteous, divine Jesse Jackson has joined the most holy, right, reverend, and righteous, divine Al Sharpton in supporting President Obama's call for support behind gay marriage. Jackson even went so far as to compare the gay marriage issue to the fight against slavery and laws that kept blacks from marrying whites. This is a bold step in the right direction for equal protection under the law for all citizens, Jackson told the Los Angeles Times. Jackson then called for black preachers to address the issue with their congregations on Sunday. He mentioned that gays and lesbians are fighting for the country and teaching America's children. This is what we want. He even said that they were leading congregations within many black churches. Oh, really? He urged Americans to remember that gay marriage isn't taking rights from anybody else, but rather opening the door for everyone to have the same opportunities. You may choose your mate, but you cannot deny someone else the right to choose their mate, Jackson said. The law protects you from being abused. It doesn't threaten your lifestyle for someone else to have the right to exhibit their lifestyle, he later added. Al Sharpton's statements were in lockstep with those of the righteous, right, holy, divine Reverend Jackson. I salute President Obama's statement today supporting same-sex marriage, said the righteous, most holy, divine, sacred Al Sharpton in a statement that went on to add, this is not about mine or anyone else's personal religious views. Yes, it is the most righteous, divine, most holy Al Sharpton, because you don't have any religious views. That's your problem. He said, is it about equal rights for all? We cannot be selective with civil rights. We must support civil rights for everybody, or we don't support them for anyone. And that is from the mouths. And you know what? Somebody, I was going to let it go. Somebody sent me an email a couple months ago. It was after this whole Trayvon Martin thing broke loose. And I had mentioned just sort of off the cuff in a Sunday morning service that there was a call to go after white people on this thing. And I said something about Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton leading the charge. And this person wrote me an email. And they first began the email by telling me how much money they had donated to our ministry. I want to say this. I appreciate, I really do. I appreciate what people do, what people give. I don't want you to think that I have a rotten, nasty attitude about it. But please, and I've had two people do this to me. This was one of them. She told me and reminded me how much she had donated. And then I'm just going to say this. When I did the very, very, very first Watchman video broadcast, I already had a camera, already had a green wall, already had a little desk, and already had an internet account, and Jazz was already running the Hog Blog, and we were able to put videos on it. And I went, you know what? I can do this for nothing. Okay? And so we started doing it, and the concept was that I wasn't going to get on there and beat you up every week over money so you could send me money. Because we need your help. God wants you to partner with us. I like that word partner that they always put in there. I had it in my mind that I wasn't going to let anybody's donation determine what I said or what I didn't say. I had that idea back in 2009. And in 2012, that idea is still valid. And again, I absolutely appreciate the help that we get from everybody. I do. The DVDs we're sending out is in the thousands. I don't know how many goes out every month. This weekend, we got inundated with orders for this video to be put on the watchers list or whatever. And I mean, we were just overrun with it. And, you know, all that's going out, and we never asked for anything. So I don't want you to think I'm unappreciative and have a bad attitude, but I will tell you, do yourself a favor and don't ever write me an email telling me how much you donate or that you're a regular supporter as if that gets you like a place in line with me, because it doesn't. I don't work for the donors. I work for the Lord. But this lady reminded me how much she gave, and then she wanted me to publicly apologize to Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson. And I reminded her of some things. I gave her news articles in response. She sent me back saying, you still owe them an apology, blah, blah, blah. Well, I'm not apologizing. They want to come out and support a gay marriage? I have nothing to apologize to them for. Absolutely nothing. And I'm going to tell everybody, these guys are rascals. They're not Christians. They're of the same line of Christianity that Barack Obama is in, and Barack Obama is not a Christian. You say, how can you say that? You cannot. I'm just going to tell you something. You cannot come out and say, I think it's okay for two sodomites to get married, when it's in direct contradiction to an overwhelming abundance of the Scripture. You cannot do that. I'm not talking about somebody that may be struggling with a sinful issue in their life. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about his doctrine. His doctrine says, well, I think God made them that way. I don't think they, I don't owe them an apology. They, however, are going to stand before God one of these days and give an account for what they're saying. By the way, Jesse Jackson loves this title of righteous, most holy, reverend, or whatever it is. He loves that title. This guy is a, I don't know if you know this, but he's a multimillionaire. This guy is a, him and Sharpton both, multimillionaires. You know how they got their money? They got their money through the little coalitions that they have. All the donations that come into them, all the, and I won't get into that today. But anyway, that's the righteous, most holy, divine, sacred Jesse Jackson and his buddy, Al Sharpton, and their buddy, Barack Hussein. And then on top of that, we have, this is from Dead Serious News. I think that's an interesting title. Dead Serious News. The world's only dead serious news source. This article, Gay Revision of the Bible to Go on Sale. Let's see here. This is from April 21st, 2010. It's 2 years ago. Move over, Adam and Eve. Here comes Adam and Steve, as well as Samantha and Delilah. A newly revised gay-friendly Bible set to go on sale in the next few weeks. Reaction to the announcement has been met with venom from conservative Christian groups. Pink Cross Publishing, the same company that published a gay-friendly version of the Koran. I bet that won them some points. I bet that's being sold well over there in Iran and Syria. Pink Cross Publishing stated that they were adding the finishing touches to the newly revised Bible. Mary and Joseph will be replaced by Mary and Josephine, a lesbian couple unable to have children the conventional way, hence the virgin birth of Jesus. All of Jesus' disciples will be gay except for Judas. Oh, come on! In the New Bible, that's an interesting term, New Bible. All of the disciples will pair off after the Last Supper with the exception of Judas. That's sick. That is disgusting. Satan in this Bible will also be straight. The new gay-friendly Bible has yet to be named. Now, all of you that's on Facebook, okay, and you know what? I'm going to do that. I'm going to make myself a note because I don't want to. I wanted to do this last night and I didn't have access to it. I'm going to make myself a note here so I don't forget it, okay? If you were watching our service Sunday morning, and I don't know if this was on the repost of it later on, but if you were watching our Sunday morning service, Sunday morning live, you saw us as a church stand united against Barack Hussein's endorsement of gay marriage. I appreciate those of you who wrote me and said that you, while we did this at our church, you physically stood up in your home, even when nobody saw you. And I listen, I appreciate that. Those of you that are on Facebook, okay, I'm going to give you a challenge. I'm going to challenge you to at least once a day this week write some sort of post that, and if you just want to give scripture. Give scripture. That's your safest thing about why it's wrong for two men or two women to be in bed together. In fact, I would just strongly encourage just use scripture. Okay? And post that on your Facebook page and watch as the absolute venom comes out of people. They will absolutely come unglued at you for posting that on there. And what I'm going to do is I'm gonna get the video from Sunday morning, and I'm gonna take just that clip of our church standing in opposition to sodomite marriage, and I'm gonna put that on our YouTube channel, and I'm gonna post that on Facebook for every. I'm gonna put it on the blog. By the way, the Mike Hoggard blog. Have you seen the Mike Hoggard blog? PastorMikeHoggard.com. I started that a couple Sundays ago. We've already had, I don't know, 6,700 hits on it. And, I appreciate that. And it's just a way for me to kind of keep in contact and just kind of do some fill-in things. Kind of opening up my life and our ministry and things like that. to people, and people have really appreciated it. The latest posting on PastorMikeHarger.com, there's a couple of pictures that I took. I ended up going to the, this is the House of the Lodge Temple in Washington, D.C. And I want you to notice there in the middle of this big lodge room is, and you can actually, they'll take you on a tour in there. And I went on tour in there and I took pictures and I noticed this big gigantic marble altar with the four horns on it. And I want you to notice in front of that altar is a pillow. Now, I went over there and I just lay down and I took a little, no, I didn't. I didn't take a nap on it. That pillow is a kneeling pillow. You are to kneel in front of that altar. Okay? Here's the problem. Here's what's on the top of the altar. Okay? You have a copy of the Bible with the Masonic square and compass. You have the Tanakh, which is the Jewish Old Testament. You have a copy of the Bhagavad Gita. You have a copy of the Quran. That is the center top book. And then over on the left top, you have some sort of, I think it's a Buddhist text or something like that. I wish I'd have gotten a close-up on that. So you're a Scottish Rite Mason, and you're part of the rituals in this particular lodge, and you go in and you kneel at this. I don't think so. That's not for me. That's not for Bible Christians to do. Can I get an amen out of somebody? Somebody's asking me, what is the Tanakh? The Tanakh is the Jewish Old Testament. I think it's got some other junk in along with it, too. But anyway, I'm not bowing and kneeling to any of these books. But anyway, that's at PastorMikeHogger.com. That's our new blog. It used to be called the Hog Blog. And I thought I was really being original until I found out that somebody else had it before me. And then it got hacked like 27 times in a row. Anyway, back to some more news. I'm going in a certain direction here. This is from GodfatherPolitics.com. Harvey Milk Day promotes homosexual agenda, targets school children. So get this, okay? They want to know what all the secrets are inside of your house, but if it's related to sodomy, then you get a free pass, okay? And that kind of creates a problem for all these liberal do-gooders out there that want to support homosexuality, okay? If they find out that maybe there's a man living in the house and he's molesting one of the girls, well, we're going to go out and get him, and they should. But what happens if they find out that this uncle that moves in or the live-in boyfriend is going after one of the boys? Well, that's going to be protected. Before too long. You see, New York already opened the door by saying it's okay. If you're just looking at the pictures on the computer, that's no problem. It's a sick world we live in, and I'm going to tell you where the responsibility belongs. Harvey Milk Day. Schools in California and some other parts of the country will turn over the education process to the indoctrination of children into the acceptance of homosexuality as Harvey Milk Day is celebrated on May 22nd. The law was signed by Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger, designating the day to commemorate the life of former San Francisco supervisor Harvey Milk, who was the first openly gay man to win elected office. If you're familiar with San Francisco politics, you know it's been all downhill since then. Move it into our schools. Homeschooling just kind of looks a little bit better every day that goes along. And then we have the Newsweek article. You know, well, let me show you this. Oh, you know what? I didn't save the picture. I did this on a Sunday morning. And one of the ladies in our church, Sister Linda, brought in a catalog that she got from J.C. Penney. And it's basically a gay promo magazine is what it is. And I was going to pull up a picture of it, and I didn't do it. But it features these two women and their children, their partners. Okay, and it's just depicted. It's not models modeling clothes anymore, standing like this. It's not that. They're promoting this whole lesbian activist lifestyle through a catalog. We are being inundated and flooded with it. And whose fault is it? Whose fault is it that all this stuff is going on? And then we have Barack Hussein, who is apparently now the adorned sun god. Newsweek is coming out, the first gay president. You all know what the halo is, don't you? The halo is an image of the sun god blessing your endeavors. I have some very, 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 very interesting insights on the sun god, and I'm putting them together. I will probably do a Watchmen video broadcast. It won't be this week, but I will probably do a Watchmen video broadcast on sun worship and the sun god. It is neat what I found in the scriptures. And so anyway, but this is Newsweek coming out, the first gay president. Now, again, there's always some people that are releasing stories out there that says, yeah, the former chauffeur driver said they were taking Barack Obama to these gay things all the time. I don't know that you can, I mean, I don't know if you can believe that or not. I mean, I don't know. Okay? But I can tell you that we are in trouble. Our president is endorsing sodomy. And I want to remind you of something, okay? And I'm going to pull this up. This is something that we touched on last week, okay? This is right here, what I'm going to show you, is the reason why the president, the vice president, all probably, if they were to admit to it, probably 75 to 80% of our Congress is quietly supporting, or they're being bombarded by the gay agenda and being moved by the gay agenda in this country. Why judges are going this way, why school teachers and school principals are this way, why our children are being flooded with this kind of garbage in our public school systems, why it's everywhere. Here's why. You remember this. Okay? You say, well, that's a man and a woman. Really? Kind of hard to tell, okay? But let me get to the core of it here so that you understand where I'm going. I'm going to open up my can of King James. And I'm in Ezekiel chapter 13. I'd like for you to open up your Bible and follow along with me. I have some good notes here that I want to get. I just had a really, really, really good Bible study today. Just me and the Lord, and it was just really, it really blessed me, and I like it. But I want us to look in Ezekiel chapter 13. I want us to look in verse 9. Okay? Let's see here. What was the exact scripture I wanted? Let me make sure I get the right one here. Okay. All right. I want us to look verse 17, actually. No, let's go back to verse 9. Mine hand shall be upon the prophets that see vanity. And that divine lies. That would be the righteous, most holy, reverend, godlike Jackson. Mine hand shall be upon the prophets that see vanity and that divine lies. They shall not be in the assembly of my people, neither shall they be written in the writing of the house of Israel. Now I want you to grasp this, okay? I don't just go after some pastor that doesn't agree with me on whatever. Okay? I don't agree with me how I was 15 years ago. Okay? I don't agree. All the things that I believed 15 years ago, I don't agree with me back then. I was NIV, going to be rock and roll, going to be Rick Warren, going to be this. I was going to be Mr. Liberal. That's what I was going to be. And I totally stand against myself and how I used to be. I'm not just looking to knock every pastor there is out there, because God is the one who calls people. God is the one who makes a change in them. And people, that's important to remember. That's important to remember. If you have a pastor that, well, he doesn't give all the prophecy stuff that Pastor Mike. Do not Do not ever compare your pastor with me. Don't compare me with your pastor. The Bible says comparing ourselves among ourselves, we're not wise. Okay? Don't compare anybody to anybody else. Okay? So I'm not just going after preachers that might disagree with me on this, or let's say the tongues issue, or this issue. I'm not necessarily going after them. But I can tell you that there are some guys who are and women that are standing behind pulpits in America, in Holland. Can I get an amen, Ricky? In England, they are standing behind pulpits and they are not saved. They're not saved. Right here in verse 9 it says that they shall not be in the assembly of my people, neither shall they be written in the writing of the house of Israel. You know what that means? It means their name is not written in the book of life. They're not saved. They're not born again. Neither shall they enter into the land of Israel. They're not going to heaven. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. And God's saying, I want you to know who I am and where I stand. God stands on issues. And he wants his people to stand on issues. He wants his prophets to stand on issues. And he wants to stand up in love and tell the people, you're doing wrong. So he says in verse 10, because they have seduced. Boy, that is an interesting word. Take a look at that. You know what that is? That is seduction right there. That is seduction. They have seduced my people, saying peace, and there was no peace. Peace and civil rights and social justice. That's what you're going to hear out of probably 70% of the pulpits in America nowadays. Social justice, racism, civil rights. They've seduced my people saying peace and there was no peace. And one built up a wall and lo, others daubed it with untempered mortar. You know what that untempered mortar is? It is saying that God said it and God didn't say it. And so I want you to... look at verse 14. So I will break down the wall that you have daubed with untempered mortar and bring it down to the ground so that the foundation thereof shall be discovered and it shall fall and you shall be consumed in the midst thereof and you shall know that I am the Lord. Put this down in your notebook as something else in the Bible that falls. Do a study of things that fall in the Bible. God said in verse 15, thus will I accomplish my wrath upon the wall and upon them that have daubed it with untempered mortar and will say unto you, the wall is no more, neither they that daubed it, to wit, verse 16, the prophets of Israel, which prophesy concerning Jerusalem and which see visions of peace for her, and there is no peace, saith the Lord. And I want us to look in verse 22, Ezekiel 13. The Bible says, because with lies you have made the heart of the righteous sad, whom I have not made sad. And here it is, right here. You listen to this. And strengthen the hands of the wicked, that he should not return from his wicked way by promising him life. Can you get a hold of that? Can you grasp that? I mean, that is so plain. Read it again. They strengthen the hands of the wicked, that he should not return from his wicked way by promising him life. You know what the preachers are telling you nowadays? Oh, God loves you just the way you are. God made you, and you know what? If you just happen to like men and you're a man, well, that's okay. You say, well, they're not really saying that. Oh, yes, they are. First, it starts out with Barack H. Then it's the Reverend Most Holy Righteous Jackson and Sharpton. And then it's some of the others. Then it's Joel Osteen, who's taking this real soft, pampered, I don't want to offend anybody, stand on sodomy. Which, is he one? I don't want to be negative. Okay? And then you have Rick Warren, who's partnering with everybody in the world. Oh, we're partners. Right? We're partners. We're just going to... Now, I know that's not God's best, but we're... And I'm just telling you, they're strengthening their hands. They're telling them that they can have life, that they can enjoy life and be that way. They're promising... And you know what? It's going to come to the point that they're going to promise them eternal life. They're going to tell them, yes, you are saved. I'll never forget. I'll never forget as long as I live. When I was in high school, I was pretty good buddies with a young lady that her dad was a music minister of a big Baptist church in this town. And she had an amazing, she had an amazing voice. She was just an absolutely good singer. And, you know, I kind of thought, you know, this is in high school. I kind of thought, you know, maybe she'd make a good preacher's wife. You know, maybe she would, okay? And, but anyway, she had another boyfriend or whatever. Anyway, we both part our ways and come back. You know, I see her at a gas station one time, and she's been going to some college up in St. Louis. She'd been singing with a symphony orchestra up in St. Louis. She just had an amazing voice. And here she is, been raised in a Baptist church all of her life, and I'm talking to her, and coming out of her mouth, just all of a sudden, coming out of her mouth, because she was up of these homosexuals and these sodomites up in St. Louis, saying, you know, maybe there's just other strains of Christianity. And I'm about 80% sure that I think that at one point she went down a sodomite road. What happened to these people? Somebody strengthened the hands of the evildoers, promising them that they can have eternal life, promising them that they can be saved, they can be church members, they can work alongside with everybody else, and strengthening their hands to do evil. It starts out being soft on sin, period. When you have a pastor who will just say, now, sin is bad. Sin is harmful to us. Sin is missing the mark. We're really just missing the mark of God. When you have a pastor that takes a soft, Tammy Faye Baker, sitting along next to Jim Baker all this, then she gets hooked up with Jim J. Bullock, a TV show guy, that he was on this show and we were going, yeah, I think he is. Well, he comes out in the open, and then they have a talk show, Jim J. and Tammy Faye. And she dies and goes to her grave saying that it's okay to be a sodomite. I don't think so. But they strengthen the hands. So you have a pastor who is soft on sin. He doesn't want to hurt anybody's feelings. So instead of naming sins, instead of enumerating sins, instead of reading scripture saying this is wrong, he'll just say, now, sin is really hurting us. Sin does not offer us God's best for our life. And he doesn't want to name anybody's sins. You know why? Because he's got people in his church that are handing money into the church coffers. And if he says the wrong thing, they're going to run him out, or they're going to head down the road and go to somebody else's church where they can get pampered like they are at this one. And they're not going to say anything. We had, I didn't tell Reg this, and it wouldn't bother him, but we had some good emails from concerning Pastor Kelly and his services here. We had one critical email, and I'm not going to read it, but they were pretty critical. They didn't like his style of preaching. And then there's one thing I know about Reg Kelly, one thing that God helped use him in my life, and that is some things just need to be said, and sin needs to be talked about, and it needs to be preached against. It doesn't matter if it's my wife's sins. It doesn't matter if my daughters are guilty of it or my sons are guilty of it. It doesn't matter if the deacons or the people who pay the most money in our church, and I don't even know who that is. And it doesn't matter if I'm guilty of it. In fact, I have an obligation as the preacher to preach against my own sins, because I'm not perfect, never will be. That's hard. Get up in front of everybody. They don't have to know everything that Mike Hoggard is or does, but I can tell you that I have preached against everything that I have ever done wrong. I have preached against it. That's hard. And I've never done it like, yeah, I ain't never done that. How come you did it? You don't get that. And it starts with a soft stand on sin. It starts with preachers not naming sins, not preaching against sin, not trying to bring people to a repentance of sin. And then sin is just like leaven. It grows and grows and grows. And then pretty soon you have a loaf with three measures of meal in it, and it has leaven, and it's just growing. And one of these days, the loaf is going to be ready. You remember that parable that Jesus taught? One of these days, as the leaven grows, as the yeast grows, one of these days, that bread is going to be ready. Wonderful study in the Bible. I can't even articulate it the way I have it in my mind, but it's there. And I'm telling you that pastors all across this country with stupid, I mean stupid stuff like this are doing nothing but strengthening the hands of evildoers so that it's heterosexual sex one day, it's okay. In fact, do it often. Then it's going to be an open endorsement from some of the biggest church leaders that sodomite marriage and sodomy is okay with God. You can actually have eternal life that way. I made some notes today on just a study that I did, and I don't know. I want to read some emails. Some of you, I talk so much, and I just don't get any emails. You know what? I'm going to wait on this. Okay. Maybe we'll do that Thursday. Let me read some emails very quickly. Let's see here. I'm going to start from the bottom here. Hi, Mike. This is from Rick. I'm sad to say I just discovered you a couple weeks ago. Why are you so sad? And have buried myself in all your video messages and articles. Everything you've covered consistently lines up with everything I've studied and learned over the past 20 years. And much more I did not know about, such as Joel's Army. Once again, I spent the better part of yesterday viewing several of your video messages, which led me to this particular one, after which I continued more in-depth research. Surprisingly, this alarms and concerns me more than the New World Order agenda underway. Can you tell me a little about this Finding Your Hebrew Roots movement among some Christian churches? I can tell you enough, Rick, that you don't need it, okay? And I would stay away from it. Okay, you don't need it. You don't need it. And if it's innocent, then okay. But I can tell you that at the end of the road of some of the Hebrew Roots people is legalism. It's trying to pull you back into thinking that you have to keep the law in order for you to be saved. Can I make this real simple? And you'll find this in the New Testament. Okay, here were the Jews who had the law. Okay, and it didn't work. They had every law that came out of God's mouth, and it didn't work. So here's the Gentiles. You know what God's trying to show with the Gentiles and people? Some people they cannot wrap their legalistic head around this thing. God intends to save Gentiles, and the Bible specifically says this, to save the Gentiles without the law. You know why? He wants to provoke Israel to jealousy. Israel's saying, yes, we have the law. Really? Couldn't keep it. You couldn't keep it, and you lost your Messiah. So God's raising up people who have never had the law, have never kept the law. God didn't give them the law. And God is wants to show people that He is able to save people without the works of the law. Not just save them, but keep them. And see, that's the thing right there. Oh, yeah. And they'll say, oh, yeah, you're saved by grace. Yeah, I believe you're saved by grace. But then what they try to do is they try to say, but you're going to keep your salvation by keeping the law. That is not true. Anyway, Justin, you have what looks like an interesting email, but it is way too long. And so, Justin, if you want me to deal with something here, give me one piece at a time, all right? Joseph says, Pastor Mike, please explain the lake of fire in Revelation. Joseph, it is very, very, very hot there, okay? And the fishing stinks. There's no good fishing in the lake of fire. No. The lake of fire is the final place where all of the unrighteous, all of the unsaved, the devil, all of the evil angels, hell right now exists as a holding place. It also is on fire. Hell and death are going to be cast into the final, I guess, torture area of God's condemnation, which is the lake of fire. Okay, that's where every evil thing ends up in the last days. Beyond that, you'd have to ask something more specific. You want me to answer it better? All right. John from the Netherlands said, "See, I knew you were in the Illuminati. I only like emo pizza from Festus." Yes, yes. John and his wife Marka came to Festus, and we treated them to St. Louis style pizza, and it had no 666s on it. I guarantee you. David says, "Pastor Mike, can you tell us anything about the three city-states? Three city-states. Each has an obelisk and have flags." Oh, London, Washington, D.C., and the Vatican. Okay? Each one is its own nation-state kind of thing. That's about all I know about it, too, is that they all have an obelisk. Beyond that, I don't know exactly, you know, what you're getting at there. Katiane says, "Hi, Pastor Mike. It's not only in the Netherlands that the Domino's pizza number ends with 666, it's in the UK as well." Aha, it's a European thing, isn't it? By the way, you Europeans, well, I tell you what, you're living on shaky ground over there as far as your economy. Pray hard, people, because what happens in Europe is going to follow up in America, I guarantee you. Joanne writes, "I like that the ad for the 666 pizza was right next to the ad for the pan pizza." Hey, good eye. Okay. Just a coinkadink, I'm sure. Appreciate that, Joanne. Good to hear from you. Watcher Doyle in Niederlande. "Love your ministry. Hope you're keeping well." Yes, I am. The Freedom Tower has 104 floors, 8 times 13. Is this the beast and the great whore mystery? You know, that's a good way of looking at that. He says the mayor of Maastricht is a sodomite who marries other sodomites in the town hall. No wonder you eat 666 pizzas over there, okay? Louisa says, "Pastor Mike, I sent the email beneath 10 days ago, but still did not receive an answer. I know you're a very busy man, so I try again. My point is that I have been teaching children out of the Baptist Sunday school material, and this name keeps coming up in the material and in preachings, and it keeps bothering me each time I hear it or read it. I have done some research on the term angel of death, and it does not appear in the King James Bible. It only keeps coming up in rock music lyrics and the Quran, so this disturbs me. It disturbs me also that it seems that this term they give to the Lord, but if I look at the characteristics of God, he is good, merciful, righteous, consuming fire, living water, note, living, not death. See, so how can man give God such a title that goes contrary to his characteristics?" Louisa, I would love to help you out on this. I would probably need to see a sample of what it is that you're seeing in your Sunday school material for me to go, aha, I know what they're, other than that, I don't know. I know that, the idea of an angel of death, we know that Satan is an angel. He is an evil angel. He is a fallen angel. And that he has the power of death. We do know that from the scripture. But beyond that, I'd have to see what it is that you're looking at, all right? Let's see here. Somebody's asking me about Scott Johnson. I don't listen to Scott Johnson, and so I don't know yay or nay, okay? I just don't. As by my own nature, I don't normally listen to other people's works. I don't want to take from them. I don't want to feel like that I have to add to them. I would like for my ministry to be unique, and so I normally don't listen to Scott Johnson or anybody else. All right. Tracy from Philly says, "Hi, Pastor Mike. The gay Bible you talked about is a hoax." Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. So scratch the first part of this program. A hoax. Appreciate that. And I fell for it. What an idiot. I usually do a little bit more research on that. Tracy, I appreciate that. Craig says, "Craig, as a black man and fellow brother in Christ, thank you for your public stance against the shyster." Excuse me, that would be Reverend Shyster Jesse Jackson. "They, he, and Al Sharpton are political extortioners exploiting the political arm of black politics." Craig, you know what? Since you brought it up, here's how Jesse Jackson got his money. Okay, Jesse Jackson leads his little rainbow coalition, And they went into these big companies like IBM and Chrysler and whatever, okay? He goes in, sits down with CEO and says, here's how it's going to go down, okay? We're going to go out, we're going to walk outside of this office right now, and we're going to put up the hugest picket line you've ever seen in your life, and we're going to tell everybody that you're racist and that you hate minorities, you hate blacks, you hate Latinos, and you do all this because you don't have enough of them hired here. So here's what we're going to do. You're going to hire more people from our coalition, and you're going to donate $2 million to our cause. Or we're going to, it's a shakedown, is what it is. Craig, you're exactly right. He's a shyster, and these guys are shakedown artists. They go to these big corporations, get money out of them, get jobs for people, and then they walk out. And Jesse, of course, everybody knows Jesse Jackson had to use some of his own hard earned money to pay for one of his mistresses and her kid that he had. Okay? Christoph is telling me the Dead Serious site is just kidding. It's not a real news site. I appreciate that. Tanya just posted on Facebook. Way to go, Tanya. Okay. Let me see if I can find it here. I actually have Facebook pulled up here. You better not be lying to me, Tanya. Okay. I'm looking for it now. I don't know if I have time. But boy, I don't have time to go through all this. And I won't embarrass you if I don't find it, okay? But kudos to Tanya for posting her stand-up against sodomy on Facebook. Thomas writes in, is it my computer or does anyone else hear a delay overdub when you're speaking? It is distracting. I don't know. Chris writes in, Mike, I feel exactly the same way you on sodomite marriage. I posted something on Facebook about Mr. Obama because he ain't much of a president coming out in support of for gay marriage. I want to tell you something. I started out when Barack Obama became president with a lot of respect for the office of the President of the United States. He has so dirtied that in the minds of most Americans that it's causing even, I guess you would call me a pacifist, it's causing even people like me to go, you know what, this guy does not, he stinks in the White House. Him and his wife both are stinking up the White House. Has nothing to do, Jeanine Garofalo, it has nothing to do with his race. It has everything to do with his stand on issues. He's stinking up America is what he's doing, and he's being helped by the pulpits. So anyway, the guy says, well, I was met with much heavy persecution, which was expected, and I'm not apologizing, no way. Their argument is, Jesus never mentioned condemning homosexuality. What else does Matthew 19:4-6 mean then, huh? Anyway, this is a huge issue in my state of North Carolina. God bless you, Mike, for not holding back an inch and rolling over to the opposition. Appreciate that. Let's see here. Hi, it looks like a book. This is from Susan. Looks like a book was missing from the collection on the altar that you showed. No, there wasn't one missing. It's that the King James Bible used to be opened up there. Okay, but it was closed. That's why I looked. I noticed that too, but that's what it was. Chris wants me to change the topic from gays. Can't stand the issue every day in the news. The problem is the way the argument is framed. The argument starts with evolution versus creation, but the topic is old. Chris, I appreciate that. I really do. But as long as the other side's making it an issue, we can't be silent about it. We can't be silent. As long as it keeps coming up, we can't be silent about it. And that's one of the things that we do at this ministry is we're dealing with stuff that's relevant. Okay? So, I mean, I know probably you don't want to hear about it anymore, but that's what's being talked about right now. All right? Seth writes in, hey, Pastor Mike, just wanted to ask you if you saw the new Avengers movie. I saw it recently, and I got to tell you, I saw a lot of blasphemous stuff in it, and only two parts of the movie where Captain America says there's only one God, and he doesn't dress like that. I heard that, okay? And another part where Loki, which is Thor's brother, makes a crowd of people kneel before him, and only one man stood up against him. The only two parts I applauded in the theaters while everyone told me to shut up or get back in your seat, you bleeping Christian. Did they really say that to you? It was very disturbing. Just wanted to let you know. Wanted to ask you if you saw it. God bless you. The whole idea behind all of these superhero movies, it's about covetousness. It's about putting in the minds of people that, number one, that there is a group of sort of superheroes that will act as the saviors of the planet. Think about that. And that maybe it's possible that you and I could have these same powers. It's about getting us to covet becoming gods. Okay, that's my take on it. Curtis, hi, Pastor Mike, keep up the good work. I've wondered before what the final tipping point was for Sodom and Gomorrah. Was it the number of sodomites? Was it the leader in charge promoting it? Was it when it was forced on children? How far did it go? What was the final straw that set off the fire of God's anger to the point of destruction for them? How close is America? Susie, you know what? That is, I'm going to have everybody study that. Okay, study that. That's a good question. What was the line that Sodom crossed? Okay. Well, you know what? Probably, and I think Brady preached this pretty well Sunday night. The tipping point was when God apparently couldn't find 10 people in Sodom that was righteous. That was the deal that he made with Abraham. Okay? And I would say the more people that become wicked in this nation, the better our chances are we're going to be destroyed. Cindy says, I posted my first anti-Sodomite marriage post on Facebook, Jude 5:7. Cindy? The book of Jude doesn't have 5 chapters. I don't know what you did, but anyway, you can repost it, all right? And Cindy, if you're not already friending me on Facebook, friend me, all right? Gary, hi, Pastor Mike. I love your videos and how the Holy Spirit works through you. I have a question about the Sabbath. Why does the majority of Christians worship on Sunday and not Saturday? Here we go. Here we go again. Gary, appreciate you, okay? He says, when I have a question, I go to the KJV Bible, but I'm unable to find anything that says Sunday. I would appreciate your understanding pointing towards Scripture on this. Until then, I continue to worship and rest and not work. Okay, so I'm going to tell you, Gary, okay, you're not wrong when you say that you're going to rest on the Sabbath day. You're not wrong, okay? And he's asking, if somebody was just trying to lay into me, I wouldn't deal with it. I've dealt with it so many times before. But I think he's asking in a nice way, very quickly, let me do this, okay? I have the law right here, okay? This is the law. This is not a commentary. Here's my National Sunday Law book. I have the law right here, okay? So it's not my opinion and it's not your opinion. It's the law. Here's the law. Fourth Commandment. Okay, the fourth commandment says, remember the Sabbath day. The law is to remember it. The law is to remember it, to keep it holy. Okay, that's the law. Then it tells you how to remember it. It tells you specifically in the law how to remember it. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor the stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Going to church is not the law. Going to church on Saturday is not the law. That is not keeping the Sabbath. That's not. You're not going to find, and I'm going to challenge you to do this. You show me any place in the Scripture, it doesn't exist, where we are required as believers to only worship on one day a week and or forbidden to worship on any other day of the week. Show me the law. Don't show me a commentary. I don't care what the Pope said 700 years ago. I don't care. That's not the law. The law is what God wrote. And God did not say that in order to keep the Sabbath, you must worship congregationally. That's not what he said. He said rest. And I'll have you know, Gary, that Saturday I rested. Rested pretty well. Okay? I did not work for Bethel Church on Saturday. If I were to come here on Saturday and hold a church service, I would be in violation of the very law that I thought that I was trying to keep. Appreciate everybody writing in. We'll deal with my notes. I already have the the script for the Watchmen broadcast written. I probably will record it tomorrow. It's going to deal with the Queen of Heaven and the Roman Catholic Church. Ooh, you ought to see what I have. Good to be with you. God bless you. I love you. This is Pastor Mike, and I am signing out of here. See you Thursday.